Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Jordan Sava.
In this episode, Douglas Flora, Executive Medical Director of Oncology Services at St. Elizabeth Healthcare, discusses the transformative impact of artificial intelligence in oncology. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Flora. Would you mind starting by introducing yourself to our audience?
Right now.
Doug Flora, I'm Executive Medical Director of Oncology Services at St. Elizabeth Healthcare.
Perfect. And to start, can you provide an overview on how AI is currently being used in oncology from diagnostics to treatment planning?
Sure. Diagnostics are where it's at right now. These are incredible tools for pattern recognition. And so it's no surprise that the high majority of the FDA-approved devices and tools in the last couple of years have been through radiology. So things like CT imaging overreads, mammography, tomo, MRI, pathology with digital pixelated slides and those sorts of things have already hit the market in a number of modalities and are proving almost across the board to be more effective or additionally effective when combined with good, careful physician experience.
That's an excellent answer. Thank you for that. And how is AI helping to improve patient outcomes?
I think this is where we're most excited, not just the discovery. Obviously, there were Nobel Prizes awarded this week in chemistry and physics for AI-enabled tools unraveling 200 million proteins, which let us accelerate drug discovery, drug design, drug development, but also looking at things like the next generation of best practice advisory. So can these tools identify needs or gaps in care, drug-drug interactions, genetic tests that should have been sent but weren't, nodules that should have been identified but were missed, and those sorts of things. So I think as we see the next generation, we move into the future, then the exciting stuff happens. And we're not quite there yet, but I'm looking forward to things like enhancing my ability to make good clinical decisions or taking all the information available to a patient for a patient and helping me guide them through their process with every piece of information that I need to make the best possible decision at once.
Definitely. Yeah, it's very, very exciting, everything that's coming out right now. And how is AI transforming the accuracy and speed of cancer diagnosis?
That's probably the most exciting thing to me right now. We've seen studies coming out in the last 2 years where, say, you would look at prostate cancer biopsy specimens compared to really, really elite prostate cancer biopsy reviewers and pathologists at Hopkins. These tools could augment the ability and even found 6% of cancers that weren't detected by the best in the world. Imagine if you take that out to general community oncology and pathology. Likewise, where we see these manifestations of better diagnoses in the imaging modalities that I've discussed. Imagine if the mammographer has a digital personal assistant sitting on her shoulder, overreading things that are just too small or too subtle to be identified with the human eye. You know, we see this across retinal photographs, across EKGs. We're now able to guess gender and diagnose a number of different conditions just based upon almost invisible patterns that are too minute and not discernible by humans yet. That's where the excitement lies for me as an oncologist. If you can give me a patient with an early stage cancer, I got a fighting chance.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. And in what ways is AI advancing precision medicine in oncology?
Yeah, we have a formal Center for Precision Medicine and Genomic Health here, and we cannot grow fast enough. I think some of the things that I'm most excited about are using these tools to gather information to suggest to us the best course of care. Say, for instance, you have a patient with a strange clinical presentation that might be consistent with a disease we recognize called MEN2. It's a genetic mutation that predisposes you for risk for a number of cancers. It also suggests that you should not be on a GLP-1 drug because of the risk of thyroid cancer. And I'm not sure that's something that's out there in the general community yet, but we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people going on these drugs like Mounjaro and Ozempic right now. That's not the right choice for people who have this rare genetic inherited condition. And so if the computers can get us better at identifying things like that, we can avoid potential disasters that we might have done with no ill will at all just because of lack of available information or knowledge.
Gotcha. No, that's great. And kind of in the same realm, how does AI aid in tailoring treatments to individual patient profiles, including genomics?
We're certainly seeing the next generation of cancer care for us I've been in practice about 20 years, and then this is the most hopeful I've been. Now, the majority of patients I treated in clinic yesterday did not receive bunker buster old-fashioned chemotherapy. They got tailored therapies. They got targeted oncology. And for us, that's the holy grail, is to be able to pick the right drug for the right receptor, the right mutation, the right dose for the right patient. Combines everything that we love about genetics and genomic health, pharmacogenomics, and then careful design of drugs and drug delivery.
Wonderful. And how is AI improving the interpretation of imaging in pathology and oncology?
Yeah, this is where the FDA has really seen the light. And as I mentioned, most of the devices that have been approved lately have been on that idea of better pattern recognition. And so certainly there are strong studies. I'll mention a tool called Cybl that's available widely as open access. Cybl's able to discern patterns in CT scans 5 years before the development of lung cancer. It's not a third-party product that's available for purchase. This is just a tool that shows the promise of these things that can seek those faintest footsteps of cancers before they're immediately recognizable. Certainly, I've mentioned that on the pathology side as we're starting to digitize our pathology across the country, slowly but surely. And the digital scanners are getting astute at identifying patterns that would suggest predictors of cancer. And then lastly, I think the next step is the MCEDs, the multi-cancer early detection plasma-based assays that are now looking for methylated DNA or circulating chromosome arms to try and identify 50 different cancers with one blood draw.
That's excellent. And we discussed a whole lot already. So, what advancements are you particularly most excited about?
I'd be a bad doctor if I didn't say I was excited about getting rid of some of the rote mechanical documentation that physicians and nurses face every day. We're seeking tools that would help us spend our days facing our patients. And so things that can be used like ambient Nuance DAX from Microsoft and Nuance, recording my patient visits, putting a note together in a SOAP format for me that I can just edit carefully, saving me hopefully 2 hours a day of documentation is pretty exciting to me in the white coat. I'd say looking forward, I think the ability of these tools to help us make better clinical decisions by making sure we have better information available at our fingertips rather than having to dig deep and find them, is pretty exciting for me in years 2 or 3 or 4 from now.
Definitely. That's excellent. And could you share some real-world examples of AI being successfully implemented in clinical oncology settings?
Sure. I think we've seen great success with a number of products looking to identify lung nodules. And so that's probably going to be the standard of care in a couple of years. We've seen really, really careful diagnostic measures being advanced in breast cancer imaging. And there are things coming out of Connie Lehman's lab up at Massachusetts General. There are things that I think are showing us how this can be augmented intelligence, where the provider is still critically at the wheel and human interaction is necessary. But tools like these image recognizers, these pattern recognizers, can augment the ability of your physicians to make better decisions faster.
That's super exciting. And off of that, what are some of the biggest challenges to implementing AI in oncology practices today?
Well, that the same challenges that face us across oncology, there's problems with access. There's problem with institutional bias. Certainly, these tools need to be trained on populations that are representative of the populations we treat. And it's not enough to design a machine learning tool that's able to diagnose the things in a middle-aged white guy in a bow tie. We have to study populations like those south of me in Appalachia or people who are of African or Asian descent. They may have different disease processes. We know that certain diseases like prostate cancer and inflammatory breast cancer may have different behaviors. And so we require really transparent and careful understanding of the data sets that went into training these machine learning modules before we can apply them to those populations. So I think probably bias and responsible introduction of these tools will be the things that keep me up at night a little bit.
That makes sense. And how do you think these barriers can be overcome in the future?
Well, right now, I'm hoping to help engage clinicians in doing that. We started a journal this year called AI and Precision Oncology. I'm editor in chief, and my goal with the journal was to bridge that gap and share validated information in a peer-reviewed fashion so you could see the data sets that went into training these machines and see the outcomes and the measures. And I think we're seeing now there's a JAMA version of a journal coming out. JCO Informatics is starting to cover this stuff. Certainly this year, the launch of New England Journal of Medicine AI. All of these journals are designed to deliver these tools to the clinicians in the field that need them in a validated and peer-reviewed status. And I think that's particularly important for the clinicians trying to make patient decisions in the field.
That's excellent. Thank you so much for highlighting that. I think that's really important. And just as things continue to advance, how is AI being integrated into clinical decision making? And is there a potential for AI to assist in treatment planning or even predicting patient responses to therapy?
That's a fantastic question. I'll start with the second half first. Yes, we are publishing, and lots of these journals are publishing important information identifying both prognostically how patients might behave, who could be spared adjuvant chemotherapies based upon genomic sequences or signatures. But then we're also starting to identify who is most likely to have responses based upon stroma or things that we can identify on these digital slides to say this particular type of stroma, this particular type of sequence or signature will predict response to a drug so that you're not treating or screening a wide population when you might be able to identify a narrow one and spare others the toxicities or the scares.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I guess just kind of as a whole, how is AI in oncology being regulated?
Well, this is hurtling so quickly. That's still being sorted out at the FDA level. Certainly, they are regulating all the devices, and that's probably safe and fair and responsible. I think they're still working on task forces around the country to figure out how to balance this question of ethical use and bias with responsible introduction. I guess I would call out the things that I, as an ASCO member, I'm most proud of is the ASCO Task Force on AI that was convened by the ASCO board a couple of years ago, has six really straightforward, balanced, responsible rules that they've laid out as a template for the rest of us to use. And so I'd refer people to ASCO guidelines for the responsible deployment of AI. Task Force was led by our CMO, Julie Grelo and Deborah Pat, and they've come up with some really practical measures, I think, to guide the rest of us.
Great. And off of what you just said, what are the ethical implications of using AI in oncology?
Well, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm an AI optimist, but I'm also a cancer patient and a treating physician in a group of people that care deeply about the patients. I would say let's not get carried away. It has to be validated. These tools have to be in a peer-reviewed, published format to show us their use case. And the downstream side effects, we don't want to be biopsying too many people unnecessarily because of too many false positives detected on these scans, et cetera. But I would say for me as the maybe the person who's reading the most about it as an editor reviewing these articles, I think we're doing a good job. I think we're moving forward at a responsible pace. And I look forward to clinicians being at the wheel. Some of the things that I'm seeing the most promise in is that there are conferences almost every weekend now where this is being included in all of our major congresses. And I just want physicians to take leadership in this and I guess get in the sandbox and educate themselves so that they can make decisions for themselves about what works in their practices.
Definitely. And just moving down the line, how do you see AI shaping the future of cancer research?
Well, I speak on this quite frequently, and I would say from the very onset, they can help us screen. They can help us match people with eligibility criteria and ineligibility criteria, exclusion criteria very well. So we can improve the screening process without having to involve a CRN or a CRC to review every single chart. I do think on the drug discovery sideline, I mentioned the Nobel Prize in Chemistry early in our interview. That's so exciting to me that we did 20 years of lab work at the bench in a couple days with AlphaFold and with the work done by Dr. Baker and colleagues. Earning this Nobel Prize in chemistry to me was not just proof of principle, but that accelerates the drug development for my patients downstairs, probably by a decade. And to me, that's terribly exciting to think that these drugs might get to market sooner or faster because we're more intelligently designing them than we did when we had to toil away with 100 PhDs for 10 years to find one target.
Definitely. That's a really great answer. And for oncologists looking to incorporate AI in their practice, what are the first steps that they should take?
Well, like I said, I think you got to get in the sandbox. You need to download one of these apps, whether it be Claude 3 or GPT-4 or one of the generative AI apps, and start to apply it to your own practice. We have to be mindful. We cannot yet input any PHI unless you're on a closed enterprise purchase system because it's not HIPAA compliant unless it's internal. But just play around. You can plan your Christmas dinner. You can plan your trip to Italy. But you can also plan, how do I assess my patient safely for a hypersensitivity reaction, secondary to oxaliplatin? Or how do I fight with an insurance company for approval of a PET scan they've previously denied? And I think once physicians can apply those to the problems that they're trying to solve every day, find out the number of hours they might get back, I see them diving into this because they're the busiest people I know.
Yeah, that was really exciting. There's so much you can do with it. And I guess in the same kind of realm, what advice do you just have for oncologists looking to incorporate AI into their practice?
It's here is first, and you can't bury your head in the sand. These are going to change the way we practice medicine. They're going to change the way we recruit and train future doctors. It's no longer the critical feature that your provider has an eidetic memory that can memorize the 15 causes of pancreatitis. Those are available at a fingertip on your phone. I think what we're going to have to do is find empathetic people who ask the right questions, who are willing to continue to learn to learn. And I would liken this to what we've had to do as oncologists, learning immunology again, or learning genetics or pharmacogenomics again, versus second year med school 25 years ago for me. I'm basically an immunologist for a living now. When I choose my drugs and my toxicities, I would say that AI is the next generation of oncology health, which is saying we have to be the best at getting better for our patients. We cannot be comfortable where we are today. Things are getting better rapidly, and these tools are here to augment your ability to do the right thing for your patient every time.